You're done for. And he cradles me a million times.
Well, he did fight Jake Paul for the best.
I don't know. About that. And I love Oscar Gomez. Watching him wrestle is really cool, but I think he's so silly in that aspect. The two best guys in the nation are in driving an hour and a half of each other. Like, when has that ever really happened? That never happens. It was just crazy how much he really believed in me. And I was like, dude, if he believes in me this much, why am I not believing in me this much? I obviously crying. I was like, dude, I didn't think I could do it. Like, I really didn't believe I could ever do this. Mm. And it was really emotional for me. And I was like, man, dude, I think I could be really, really great.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Clash of Combat podcast. Today, we have a very, very special guest, Aiden Sinclair.
What's up?
Aiden just got here, walked in the door, loved the shirt he's wearing. So vintage.
Yeah.
Love to see it. Well, I mean, first off, since like it is WWE, what are your thoughts about Gable now being released from the WWE?
I kind of like the idea of him coming back to wrestling. Obviously, like, I want Team USA to be the best team in the nation or the world. What was that? In the world. I don't know. I know they talk about him having showmanship, but I feel like someone like Carter Cerracci or Pat Downey would be way better fitted for the WWE than him. I just don't think he did enough. Like, yeah, he does a backflip, but outside of that, I don't know. He didn't talk a bunch of crap on Twitter. Or it looks like Yonger Bastida in the door thing. You remember that? Yeah. I think those three, like someone who's actually willing to say all that stuff would be way more. I think that would be more entertaining. So, but I also think it's actually kind of annoying too that, I don't know, maybe this is probably a plagiarized idea, but they, I guess they told him after the trials.
Yep.
If they would have told him, like, it would have been nice if they told him before the trials so he could go wrestle and see if we have the best Olympic team. I don't know. That's kind of frustrating, but overall, I think it's good for wrestling.
Yeah.
That's all I care
about. Well, one thing that was always like, after hearing this, it was like, usually that would be like a cool path for wrestlers because there's not crazy money in wrestling, but it's like he kind of was the main front runner of, I guess, the new age, you know, of being like, you know, maybe after wrestling, you can always go in WWE, do kind of that. But it's like now after seeing kind of how they treated, like, you know, the Olympic champ, like, it's just kind of weird in that sense. But
I'm sure he got paid.
Yes. Yes. Regardless. But no, just also, congratulations. You have been named the 2024 Dave Schultz High School Excellence Award winner. One of the most prestigious awards. You know, this is because you won like the region, but there's other regions that win it, but you won on the national scale.
Yeah.
How is that for you?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, I remember this. This was literally 3 weeks ago. My high school wrestling coach, he teaches this class. It's called DC Seminar. Okay. And we go to Washington, D.C. and like, we're basically trying a 10-page paper on this one topic. We leave in 2 weeks, I think. But he hands me this form and he's like, hey, like, you should fill this out. Like, you've been nominated for the thing. They want all your accolades and community service. It was more so, I felt like, school-based stuff.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, yeah, I guess no problem. And then like a couple weeks later, he's like, hey, man, you like you won the state. I think it's like state and then you go region and then national. I was like, oh, wow. Sick. Let's go. actually funny, at youth freestyle state this weekend, Josh Wagner, he was literally telling me, he's like, kind of mad at you right now. I was like, why is that? He's like, Grayson Clark, Clayton Whiting won it for my academy and you had to take that away.
Oh no.
For every year. So I guess the past 2 years they got it, but AW Madison has it now. So
you used to go to DC for it?
Yeah. So the trip is, not the Dave Schultz Award. We're doing that for just a class. Okay. No, the award, there's an award ceremony and they're requesting all this stuff for like a shadow box. But the plan right now at least is my high school coach is going to go accept it on my behalf because I'm wrestling. Mm-hmm. They're doing it like the day that I'm wrestling in the trial finals because I'm in the 2 out of 3 and I'm like, obviously I want to go be a world champion. Yeah. So I'm not going to skip that, you know, but it was really cool. I was like, I won. I was at Crumble Cookie. I was like, what?
Oh, what week of Crumble are we talking?
This is 2 weeks ago, Monday. Every Monday after practice, my girlfriend, she loves Crumble Cookie, so we got a Crumble Cookie.
No, what flavors are we talking?
Oh, dude. There was a churro one.
Yep.
The minis.
Oh, the new.
Yeah. Because I've never needed
it. They have small ones now. You don't have to cater it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty sick. It's like, there was a churro one that was really good. Then just the chocolate chip. I'm not even a big cookie guy. I like ice cream.
Oh, sure.
I don't know. I was there. He calls me. I was like, oh, what?
No way.
I was like, oh, yeah, I thought you already told me this, coach. He's like, because I was like, you told me this last week. He's like, no, the national. And I was like, and then he's like, but you need to keep it a secret. And I'm like, my girlfriend's sitting right here.
Uh-oh. She's going to go blast that out.
So I was like, oh, bro, I got it. I can do this. But I only had to keep it for like a week and a half, and it was no big deal. But I'm bad with secrets. I wouldn't tell me anything. I just keep yapping, and it usually comes out at some point. So
dang.
It's not good.
So it's probably statistically harder to win that award than to be like a world champ, potentially, right? Only one high schooler in the
That's true. I was thinking like, I feel like a lot of it was really off of the academics and the outside of all that.
Do you take like hard classes too?
So I by the time I graduate, I would have done a 10 AP classes, and then
what?
Yeah. This is all of my AP testing this week. So I did AP Bio and AP World History my sophomore year, Lang and U.S. History my junior year, and this year I was in six. So,
dude, do you want to know how many AP classes I took?
Let's hear it.
How us combined?
Combined.
What?
Zero, bro. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I'll give you, man. I'll give you your flowers there. Especially like the level of wrestling you're on, because I like, it doesn't just happen by going in the room twice a week, three times a week.
Yep.
Like clearly your schedule is jam packed and you have very little margin of error.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I actually think it's really weird, like very different worlds, like going from the like classroom with a lot of really high achieving students and then the wrestling room with high achieving like wrestlers. The people, like they're generally like really similar, but they're also really different in a lot of ways. Like whenever this is big time for people going to like talking about where they're going to school. Like, cool, I'm going to Minnesota. Not me, but like they're like, I'm going to Minnesota, or I'm going here, or I'm going there. And when I talk about like I talk about visits, and I'm like, oh yeah, I could have gone to Stanford. Like, because all these academic people are like, you could have gone to Ivy League. And I'm like, yeah, I guess.
So flex, man.
But no, that's crazy. And it's also crazy too, because at school, like a lot of them think it's like athletes. Some are athletes, most aren't. And a lot of them are kind of chalk me being getting lucky, and like they're like, oh man, you're just genetically gifted. And it's like, well, if I didn't have to pay for my school, I get all that stuff all the time. But I'm just like, man, I worked hard. Everyone can make as many excuses in the world as they want, but I put the work in.
So just on a more, I guess, strategic level, because I know a lot of like college athletes, like when they're in college, it's like they really don't care about school. Like I'll quote this, like what Austin Gomez said. He's like, he doesn't go to school to like play school. He's there to like win a national title, win a world title. But it's like, do you think doing like getting those harder classes, do you think that benefits your wrestling? Like, or do you think you're also taking like a step back of like, wow, I got to put more focus in school than maybe wrestling on some nights, and maybe I could be a better wrestler? Or how do you view that?
Yeah, that's a really good point. I actually think, and I love Austin Gomez, watching him wrestle is really cool, but I think he's so silly in that aspect. Cause it's, I think like you're trying to set up to be a lifelong learner. I mean, that's something you hear all the time, but I'm actually going to go to Mizzou and do I'm going to get there and probably have around 55, 60 credits. So I think that's like half of a...
That's half of a graduate.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I think in my head, like everyone likes to think like, oh, how has being a really good wrestler helped you in the classroom? But in honesty, it's reversed. Like me taking difficult classes and really pushing myself academically has allowed me to think about wrestling like very, I would say, in a math sense, systematically, but then there's also abstract concepts that are difficult for people to understand. And I think being able to understand them due to having been previously exposed, like it's not the first time I'm seeing like all these different psych terms that Ben likes to use. He was a psych minor, I think, a geography major, or all these different ideas, like they're not foreign to me and it makes sense. And so I think it really helps that I'm really always surrounded by high achieving people. I don't come from a really massive school. My school's probably like maybe like 200 kids per, I mean, we are Division I, but sure, it's like 200 kids per grade. And so like, I'm really blessed to be, like I go to school, I'm surrounded by high achieving people. I go to practice, I'm surrounded by high achieving people. If I wasn't stimulated at one of those two places, man, I'd get so bored. And so I think having that busyness has really like kept me focused. You know, there's always something to work towards. And so, yeah, Austin Gomez is silly, like, oh, I only want to be good at this one thing. Dude, in my opinion, this is how I think about it. What do I know, right? But to be great you need patience, and it needs to be something like that you can do forever. Not like wrestle forever, but like there needs to be a longevity factor into it, and it needs to be something that's sustainable within your life. Like kids, I feel like I see this more with youth kids that I work with. Like they take a loss, like they're say they're really good in middle school or something. They take a loss, they're like, I'm gonna work really, really extra hard now. I'm gonna like stay after practice, do 3 hours of stance of motion like a Monday or something. And it's like, okay, that's not sustainable. Let's have sustainable practices. If you're under the mindset like I'm only gonna work towards this world champ, I'm only in this for the world championship, I'm really outcome based, and it's like I'm doing everything so I can get to this. Like, yeah, there's like parts of that that are important, like having the goals, but like you have a life. Like the wrestling mm-hmm. isn't your life, and mm-hmm. it shouldn't be, because your value shouldn't be put into that. This is honestly biggest plagiarist in the world. Like taking this from Mitchell Messenger. I mean, I was around some pretty great people, so I'm taking this from Mitchell, Ben, everyone I listen to on podcasts, and I think it's just a collection of knowledge. But the idea is the same. It's like you live your life, you do wrestling, you aren't what wrestling is. And so when you think like I'm only in this for this or this or this, it's like, well, maybe you should probably like focus that on other parts, like your family and relationships in your life, because those mean more than a little sport in my head. So I would never say that. I like to say that I go to wrestling to get, I'm going to college to get a PhD in wrestling, but in reality I'm like just trying to learn. That's all I want. So
wow. Yeah. And I mean, you brought up a great point. It's like that quote, you're the average of, you know, the five people you spend the most time with. Yeah. And clearly like surrounding yourself with not only great people in the wrestling world or just teachers in general, but yeah. like even like in the classroom, like there's a reason that you've had the success that you are. And of course it's like, they're all factors that play into that.
Yeah. It's definitely very true. I think going actually back to the thing about the classroom and wrestling, it's kind of weird too, because a lot of my classmates, like, they think it's weird to have a lot of confidence. Like I would probably be labeled as cocky in their eyes. But like when I go to the room, like I'm like not, like I just see so much more.
Sure.
And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, dude, what are they?
Like there's levels. Like,
it's dude, it's bad. It's really
insane. How is it walking to school in the high school and being like, wow, if necessary, I could take down everybody in this building.
I think to myself, well, it is kind of like, I do think about that. But then I also think like, this is about the humbling factor in my head is like, man, I'm like really grateful and lucky to be living where I'm living, so close to, I mean, not really, kind of close, an hour away from Ben's and hour and a half from Max's, and like living in Southern Wisconsin at the time that I lived. Mm. This is like, I'm so lucky, you know, any of these kids could do this. And I just happen to follow this path. And so I put in the work, obviously, but like, you never know what the path's going to be. But it is pretty cool that you're saying like, I mean, I never think about beat. Well, never mind. I do think
maybe
about
he does. He's taking this test. Oh God, why did this teacher have to make it so hard?
Dude,
the things I could do.
My financial
Dr. Brown.
Yes. I shouldn't say any names. But there was one class where this teacher was just, I was thinking to myself, I'm like, I'm a
10 minutes in the circle. Dude, 10 minutes in the circle.
You don't understand. But then I'm like, just focus on what is FICA tax? Just flock in. But that's financial literacy was a class, but it's okay. He probably means well, hopefully. I don't know.
Dang. Me and Crosby were talking about this too. I think you should probably bring it up if he's the first wrestler to.
Because you do like speak like Mr. Miyagi a little bit.
For a high schooler, you just sound like you have way more information than I have ever had in my entire life.
I appreciate it. Dude, that's all that for all the classes, man. They get. You got to be able to speak like they, I mean, I guess you don't have to be able to speak academically. Some kids don't.
Well, you can.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, we have a proposition for you.
Yeah.
With all the coaches, or all, not coaches, all these wrestlers going to Oklahoma State, you could be the first wrestler to just skip competition in college and go straight to coaching.
Why? What makes sense? You think so?
I think you could do it. I think if anybody can do it,
it could be you. I appreciate it. All right. So David Taylor, my number, if you're wondering. I'm kidding. I won't say my number. But that'd be sick. I would like that. I think actually there was a point in my career, like I'm not still in it. There was a point wrestling in high school my sophomore year. I think I like asked Ben like, it was, we were reading, he was doing like this guided reading thing with these kids, and I was reading the book too, and it was about like purpose. And I was like, oh, I think like my purpose is like, I really want to help others. I really want to coach, and I want to do that through wrestling. And then we were sitting down and we were talking, and I was like, I don't understand like how me being like, and then this is quotation marks, selfish in the room, like getting my reps, you know, working hard after, you know, my parents make sacrifices. I was a sophomore, so they were driving me. And this and that was like, I feel like I'm really not helping others. Like in this sense, I'm being kind of selfish. But he said, which is, it's always, I always think about it. He's like, to be effective at helping others, you need your credibility. You need credibility to be able to do that. And it's like, how are people going to listen to someone who hasn't done what they want to do, you know? And I was like, that makes sense.
That's a phenomenal point. I actually had this goal a couple years ago. It was like Thanksgiving. Everyone in the family's in a big table at my grandma's. And we were going around like sharing like, what's one goal we want to accomplish? And I was like, you know, this was probably 4 years ago. It's like right on the start of my YouTube channel or whatever. Like I was like sophomore. I got like fifth at state in high school. I was like, I want to write a book by the end of the year. And like the more I like thought about it and like as like time went on, I'm like, dude, you got to probably do something before like you like share information. Yeah. Cause like what, cause no, the worst thing is a teacher teaching something that they haven't done themselves.
Yep.
And so like, that's a big thing. It's like how cool of a position, like, you know, being like an Askren Wrestling Academy, like you look at the levels of, you know, being like multi-time Hodge winner. It's like, this guy has accomplished that. This is, you know, like leading up, like this is what potentially I could do. And it's like, of course you're going to like, not saying that you can only go to Hodge and nothing far further, but you know, like, When my dad was our high school coach, he won state. And I'm like, you know what? Because he won state, maybe I can because he's coaching me. Yeah. Nick Becker, our coach, 3-time national champ. Heck, if he can win three, heck, give me just one. Yeah. Give me a title from all these years just training the room. It gives you kind of that confidence. So, yeah, just relating to that, that makes sense.
I remember this. I was just thinking about this while you were saying this, but you said that was a sophomore year. I remember watching you in middle school as a 7th or 8th grader watching you win your state title.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was pretty cool. That was really cool. I remember you had Cody Miner in the finals.
Yep.
And then who had Tyler Gable? Because I was watching.
So I had him in the semis.
That's what I thought. And that was a crazy match, right?
Well, yeah. I went into like the last ever overtime thing. Dude, I tell you, like just leading up, like not making it junior year, like just getting, you know, beat by my future teammate. And then just like how everything was in order. It was like a fairy tale story. So
good.
I know.
Dude, I was thinking to myself, I was like, well, not at the time, but now retrospectively, like amazing content.
Well, here's the thing too, because this is probably the coolest story of like I can't believe this is real. Like, this is my junior year of high school. It was junior year. I didn't make it to state, and this is when I had like maybe 3,000 subscribers on YouTube. Like, there was like a couple wrestling going on, but we walked into this bar because everyone kind of wanted to eat. I see this kid with this chair.
I know it.
And he's like, "Kane Etchell, can I get a picture?" And I'm like, "Yeah, of course." And then we took a picture, and I was like, "Yo, that was my first picture ever." That, ladies and gentlemen, was Aiden Sinclair. Yeah. That is crazy.
Yeah, dude, I watched it all. I mean, I was really obsessed with wrestling. Like, it's kind of crazy in middle school thinking like I don't want to like
sure.
But how high level all the high schoolers were. Like, I thought they were like so amazing. Yeah. I was like, man, I could only dream to be there. I lacked a lot of self-belief when I was younger, you know. I was a kind of a chunky kid, obviously. Like, I was like, I don't know, I was redhead, pale. Like, I don't know, I just kind of got, I was made fun of. But it wasn't like, it was a lot of teasing, it was fine. But I always like, I lacked a lot of self-confidence. So like, when I saw that stuff, I was like, dude, no way. Like, my friends are not going to believe this. They're not going to believe this. Took a picture with you, went to our booth when back at the, before the final session or whatever. And I was like, dude, I have this photo on my phone. You're not going to even think about what I have in here.
Holy God.
They were like, who? They freaked out too.
That's awesome.
They freaked
dude.
Out when they saw it too. But yeah, I think it was Dottie Dumplings or it was Nitty Gritty, but it was one of those.
Yeah, something. It was the Donnie one, I think. It wasn't Nitty Gritty.
Because someone wanted burgers. I don't know why I remember all this stuff.
I'll tell you what, that is still very humbling to me, because to see like your success, I mean, it's so weird when like your little kid, like looking back, it's like you seeing everyone who's a couple, like let's say in the next division, whether it's be high school or college, and the next thing you know, it's like you're there. Yeah. And not only like are you there in high school, but like you're competing like on senior level tournaments. Now you just won, you know, the US Open, and it's like, wow, it's just, you're on a trajectory going to where you're headed. And, you know, saw that news clip, how you're just saying, how you say to yourself, like, Aiden Sinclair is like an Olympic champion.
Yep.
And it's like, what is the manifestation involved in there?
Dude, so I really lacked a lot of that. Like I said, the self-belief, like believing I could do these things, manifestation, like, especially in middle school. And I really don't know what it was. Like, I don't know if it was the environment, because I was around good people, but it was just like, I just didn't have that little oomph. And then Askren bought, so I would have never been at Askren actually if my club had stayed at Advanced School of Wrestling.
Oh.
So I, because it was just like, we weren't, when we were first introduced to it, we were like always anti because they were like the enemy, like we got to beat them. And, but then Ben bought the club during around COVID time and Tristan Moran became the coach. And he was just so positive. He had so much belief in me. It was crazy. And like, I would walk into the room every day and he was like, it was just crazy how much he really believed in me. And I was like, dude, if he believes in me this much, why am I not believing in me this much? And so it built up over time. I remember like, I always go back to like Ben talking, always has a mental Monday on success isn't linear. Like your performance isn't going to always be linear, it's the ups and downs. But at least in my experience right now, I've had really like, I mean, there have been ups and downs performance wise, but it's been generally up, obviously. Like, I remember my freshman year, I was like, oh man, I really want to place at Super. In eighth grade, I was like, I want to place at Super 32 as a freshman. I go my freshman year, I pull Levi Haynes first round. So I got teched. And then on the backside, I lost right away again. And then I was sitting there like real upset and I was like, I want to place next year. And I placed, I got seventh. And I was like, dude, I want to win next year. And I made the finals, got injured. And then I was like, dude, I'm winning this next year. And I won. But I just like, it was like a lot of like, I never believed I could be number one guy in the nation. I never believed I could be like that best guy until someone like Tristan came into my life. And he's like, dude, like you can go to college for this. Like you can be great. This is, you got to believe it. And I started believing it. I mean, Ben obviously helped me with that too. But because Tristan left, obviously. And so Ben really helped me out in that department as well. I still struggle. Like, it never goes away. Like, I go wrestle. A good example is last chance qualifier against McFadden. Like, I was really hesitant. Like, I could have beat him. I know I could have beat him. But I struggled in that moment, and it didn't go well. But, that stuff comes up. But you work to get rid of it, and you work. And I know that hopefully if I see him again.
Was there a specific tournament that you did really well at and was like, you know what? I can be very good. Like, cause I know like in my career, it's like, you know, when you start wrestling, you don't really, really are fully invested until it's like you win or place at something. You're like, holy cow. Like, wait, I'm actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, when was that moment for you?
Yeah, I remember exactly. This is gotta be freshman year. So when I was in middle school, cause I was saying, I was chunky and stuff. So I always, really like, I would get even more in my mind when they would be older. So you have the 2 years and I would be like, oh, I'm on the young side. Like this guy's on the old side. He's probably like got all this armpit hair and stuff done. And I was like overthinking all this stuff. But my freshman year, we went to cadet duels. And I just remember I wrestled all these kids that I had never beaten. Like I would always lose and I never thought I could beat. And like, I remember Ben, that was kind of one of the first times Ben started coaching me. And he was just telling me what to do and I could always pick his voice out of the crowd because I was yelling. And I just remember I went undefeated. I teched everybody and I was like, I got really emotional after my eighth match, because there was eight matches or whatever. And I was obviously crying. I was like, dude, I didn't think I could do it. Like, I really didn't believe I could ever do this. Mm. And it was really emotional for me. And I was like, man, dude, I think I could be really, really great. And so then it planted the seed, like, let's go win Fargo. I got third that year. Nerves got to me in the semis because it never goes away. But that's when it started. I was like, I'm going to do this. And so my schedule really looks like I was like wrestling every Monday, Wednesday, whenever Heartland happened. And then I wrestled before practice with Tristan Moran. Then I'd coach the ninjas because I love the little kids. They're so silly. And then I'd do practice and I was like, I just loved it. I loved it. And cause I was like, I'm going to do it. Like no matter what happens, I really believe I can win every, and it's the same thing. Like no matter what happens, I believe I can succeed, but also in matches, like I really do believe that if I'm down 9-0, I can come back and win. Like that is never going to not be I'm just never going to give up. Like I never understood that. And I never did it as a kid, but I'm just not going to give up. And I think that really, it just kicked it off. Ever since, it was just being patient and consistent. I struggle with the patience. I really want to be really good at everything right away, like everyone, but that can't always happen.
I mean, one thing that you were saying about like just giving, you know, like nervous before a match or whatever that may be, it's like just knowing that the other guy is also feeling that. Sometimes like I forget, like, dude, like why am I nervous? Why am I nervous? And then sometimes I remember, I'm like, well, dude, like imagine what the other guy is feeling. So like,
That's a big part. I actually always thought it was kind of a criticism by me being in like a smaller percentage of wrestlers, but I always thought there's so much mental advice for everyone trying to climb the mountain. But I feel like there's like really, really not a lot of help for the guy at the top, you know, like you always think you have something. This isn't, I've dealt with this obviously. So I'm like, but speaking from experience, you always feel like you have something that you could lose. You always feel like everyone's out to get you. You feel like you're out there and people aren't supporting you. And everyone likes to support like the underdog story. Like I think I read this book and it was basically about like everyone loves the underdog story. But the truth is like the underdog story is relatively small percentage. Like the people that should win are the people who put in the most work and who are successful. And like a good example would be like the 3-time world champion should win the Olympics. But everyone cheers for the dude.
Sure.
The underdog who's not supposed to. And it's weird because America was built on hard work and dedication to be successful. But yet you want the unstatistical guy who maybe put in less work to win. It's like, I thought it was ironic. So I always thought it was weird that there wasn't, I mean, it makes sense because it's a small proportion of people who are at the top, but there's really not, a lot of people don't like to give those guys as much support as they do the underdogs, I think.
No, I completely agree. And just, I guess, touching base on that, after your just complete domination at the Open, how do you even get better?
Yeah, like I think there's always something you can pull from matches. I mean, in particular, like if I was to break down the Open perfectly, like I didn't really attack that much. Like, I mean, I had offense and I was threatening because there was things that they knew I could do, but I didn't hit my knees a lot. I didn't get to a lot of shots. I mean, I'm good at top. I'm really good at go behinds. I have really nice drags, but I got to hit my knees more. And if I can hit my knees and score against the best guys in the nation, then I can do it on anybody. And so like that would be one of the things I really focus on is that hand fight, being able to push, pull guys around. I feel like there's always something you can work on. Granted, this is all like the things that I have in my head. My coaches, they always look for these things. Again, being really grateful. Like Ben always has an agenda. Coach Maple, he was out there, Mizzou coach. He had an agenda for me too. Like all that stuff is really impactful to getting better. But then it's also like that self-reflection of, hey, you've been doing this for 3 months. You've been doing this skill for 3 months. Why don't we like do it and not do it?
Yeah.
So yeah. That I think is, that's how I get better. And then again, patience. It takes so long, dude.
Yeah.
Wrestling's the hardest sport. I got in an argument today about that. They were like, hockey's the hardest. I said, dude, you don't even have to make weight. They're like,
that is true.
I was like,
true.
They're like, you're on skates and you can fight. If you want to fight, wrestle, dude. Like, I'm like, I was getting so heated. I felt like they were teasing me sometimes.
Just bring him in the room.
What I'm saying. They're like, it's harder to get a scholarship to play Division I soccer than it is wrestling. And I was like, dude, stop talking.
Yeah.
I have to study for my AP test. I can't be bothered with this nonsense.
Very true.
It was so crazy.
I'll read you a little statistic. Okay. So this is from Fargo 2022. He also outscored his 7 opponents in the 182-pound bracket at 16U Nationals by combined 75-1. And that finals was when you were doing a gut wrench and they just stepped over. So I'm not even counting that. So what drugs were you taking?
It wasn't anything in particular. Like, I just thought I was like, and you just know that you're way better than everyone in the field. And I knew that, you know. I knew there's a big skill discrepancy between me and everyone else. And I still believe it when I enter tournaments. It's just whether or not I can perform well. But I think I just performed really well. Like, Ben really helped me, like, focus, lock in on a few things. And, you know, just not focusing on everything else. Just focus on wrestling and the art and the game that is wrestling rather than, like, where everything, all the things that really don't matter. But I don't think there was anything in particular. I honestly just think I was... I don't want to be mean when I say this, but I think I was at a weak weight class and I was just way better than everyone else. Because the truth is, actually, that year I went to U17 UWWs and I lost my third place match. And that kid probably would have been he ended up winning and going to Worlds. But that kid probably would have been in my bracket if he didn't win. And so, I mean, that would have made the bracket way harder. Yeah. But
That dives into my next point, because we were also discussing earlier, it's like, how crazy it that, you know, some of these guys are so good, they skip freestyle Greco State. But then, like, you are like at a point where it's like, dude, like, do I even do Fargo? Like, dude, like Fargo is like Fargo. And it's like, dude, like, it's crazy the amount that people can still be the same age, but there's just like, there's always that other thing. And like, you're damn near there.
Do you want to hear crazy? Not even crazy, but this is like how out of touch I felt. Like, I was like,
sure.
When I heard this, I was like, oh my God, I completely forgot.
Yeah.
These kids were talking about, qualifying for Fargo. And I was like, qualifying for Fargo? I was like, you can't just go? And like in the past, Aiden knew that. Like, yeah, that's so stupid. But I was thinking to myself, you have to qualify for Fargo. How did I forget that? Like, how could I forget that? And it's because I didn't go last year. I was already qualified the year before. I was qualified the year before for getting third my freshman year at state or something along those lines. But I just never realized, I was like, what? Like, not saying like I realized I was like so above everyone, but it was just like,
it was never a worry.
No, I was thinking to myself, I was like, these guys like are worried about so many way different things than me. Like, man, I should just be way more grateful. Because I was like, I was dumbfounded. I was like, qualify for Fargo? I was like, what are you talking about? You stop. I was like, again, what the nonsense? What's this? And then I realized, I was like, dude, he's right. Because the brackets are massive too. Oh, that's why I was
and
like.
And the thing is, it's like more people don't qualify for Fargo than go to Fargo. Clear, like just statistically speaking.
And it's, and I'm like, it just, I don't know. I'm so used to brackets when you have to qualify for something, like they're just small, like Olympic trials brackets are small. The UWW trials brackets are small. State brackets aren't that big, but it's just crazy. Like Fargo brackets are like, mine was like 256 guys or like something, not that, that bracket type, but I was just, I just never thought about it. Like, I just like, oh, you have to qualify. And I was like, man, I'm silly.
Let's talk about a dream matchup of yours.
Oh, okay.
Any level, senior level, college.
Okay. I would say Ben Askren and Sumo would be number one. But I don't know if we could make that happen. I don't think I'd be down, but he wouldn't want to get in the diaper thing or whatever that thing is. But wrestling wise, dream matchup. I mean, I want to wrestle Aaron Brooks, obviously. Like, be a really cool feel. I want to see if I could. I have some tricky stuff for him. See if he can make the adjustments. That'd be really cool. Yeah, I think Aaron Brooks would be really cool. Who I'm trying to think of. I mean, I don't think this is going to sound silly, but I think I'm going to run into all of them. Like, I feel like at some point I'm going to run into everyone. Maybe David Taylor, now that he's retired, that'd be really sick. Mm-hmm. Or Kale Sanderson, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
That'd be cool too, because like, he's just in it. Anybody who, I would say anybody who innovated wrestling in a time period. I guess, okay, I'll change my answers then. Bucifar and Adam Sateev, because if you watch their wrestling in their time period, it was so different. Crazy, like, how do you move like that? It looks like you're moving so slow, but yet like you're teching everyone, and they're widely considered some of the greatest wrestlers of all time. It's like, what is going on? Like, how are you able to do this? And I think it's like, you should watch it. I think they're on the Rudis Plus, or I really don't know, but you gotta watch those clips. You're like, how is he able to do this? Because it looks like he's moving so slow, but it just works, and it's weird, and I'd love to get that feel. I think it'd be crazy.
Maybe it's just the camera angle.
That's gotta be what it is. The angles. It's the angles. I've been saying this. It's the angles. The angles of the camera. They slow it down when you're not thinking about it. Yeah. They have it in 0.95.
Yeah, right. Well, one of your, one of your go-to training partners got to wrestle Aaron Brooks.
Yep. I wrestled him today.
Yeah.
I wrestled him today. Yeah. So, I think that was awesome. I saw Connor got a takedown. He was winning his match, actually. And so, I mean, I think I could get, like, if Connor can take down, like, I can do it.
Yeah. Like, that probably boosts your confidence, just like watching, being like, wait, like, we're this good?
Well, dude, I thought about that. Well, it was kind of weird with McFadden, too, because I was like, I mean, I got teched in freaking 20 seconds. What the heck? And then Connor beats him. I'm like, I knew it. I knew I was right. Yeah. I knew I could beat him. I should have tried to do something.
Should have tried a little bit harder.
There's something to do, but I was, so whatever. I don't know if I'll get that match again, but it's cool. It's really cool, honestly. Like, seeing Connor in my season, I couldn't do the senior nationals or that tournament in New York. I'm forgetting the name. I wasn't old enough. I was too young. I was born in 2006. So watching him get to wrestle and all that stuff was really cool. Like, wrestle Mark Hall, wrestle Alex Derringer. I'm like, what? Because I feel like so many people in the state of Wisconsin think it's really removed. Like, we're removed. Like, they understand that we're the best, some of the best in the state, but they don't understand that, like, we're not only some of the best in the state. Like, we can compete with the legends, you know, and people just, I don't know, they just kind of put you at the same level as other people who are the best in the state. And that concept really doesn't, the concept of how good people are is really, like, it's really hard to explain. And it's also something you should probably not try to explain, because it makes you sound really
sure. That's fair.
So I just stay away from it. I'm like, I wrestle, man. Yeah. I wrestle.
Wait, so you're talking about the Bill Ferrell?
Yes, Bill Ferrell. That's the one.
You're too young to wrestle in that?
Yeah, too young. So you have to be born for all that stuff. That's why Bo Bassett, Jax Forrest, none of those guys could do it because we're all 06. And so, yeah, you can't. You have to be, I think it was, you had to be 18 by the time of the tournament or you'd be turning 18 that year. And I wasn't going to be 18 till January of the next year.
Okay.
And so the only chance I had to qualify for the Olympic trial, sorry. Sorry.
You're good.
The, what was that? Whatever I had when I, before I came.
Last chance?
Yeah. Was last chance and you had to win. And so it was like kind of hard, but it's also like, let's do it. I can do hard things. Let's do it.
Well, just kind of touching back to, you know, the Mirror Souls were the last podcast and just talking about like your history, because you guys have trained so much.
Yeah.
You got to, you know, you wrestled Connor in the main event and you beat him there. And it's like, how is it still being like training partners? Is there like maybe some like maybe hidden beef behind the scenes in the match or what is it like training with like both of them, but still like around the same weight where you're like both competitors?
Yeah, I think it's, I think you would agree with this too. It's really great. Like the second, first, the two best guys in the nation are in driving an hour, hour and a half of each other. Like, when has that ever really happened? That never happens. And I think Ben and Max and their parents and my parents have all done a really good job of like understanding that this isn't all that people make it up to be. Like, the outcome isn't as important as the wrestling. And like, we're still going to be friends because we bonded over the fact that we love wrestling. And at the end of the day, it's a sport. It's a game. Like, you're not going to hate someone because they beat you at chess. You guys have a fond love for chess, or maybe some people at the highest levels actually probably do that. But I don't know. I think not any, if he were to beat me, I think it's the same. Like, you were good on that day. I was good on this day. It's kind of crazy. When I first met them, this is kind of crazy. I'd never, like, I would win tournaments, but it wasn't that often. Not, it was frequent. I should see retrospectively. You should ask my parents. They'll tell you the truth. I'm probably, just focusing on the losses. But when I was in, I think I wrestled him for the first time in like fourth or fifth grade.
Holy crap. I didn't know that. That was a long time ago.
Really long time ago. In Fort Atkinson Youth Tournament, I wrestled one. And then like I wrestled the other two matches later. And my dad is like, they just wrestled. They messing up the brackets. They just wrestled. No, you don't understand. They just wrestled. And then John is like, they're twins. And my dad was like, yeah.
I wish that was on camera.
Dude, it was crazy. And I was like, and so then I wrestled them and then I wrestled this other kid who doesn't really wrestle anymore. And he beat me. And I don't know. It was just crazy. Like throughout the years, we were with each other all the time. And they were always bigger than me too. Like not that time, obviously really little, but as we continued on and when they went to Ashland, like they were always like 40, 50, 60s. And I was like 120s, 130s. And so that was all through middle school too. It was only really until my sophomore, because my freshman year too, like the start of the year at Super 32, I wrestled 138 and they were 170. So I really didn't get that big until I wrestled 160 that at Fargo that my freshman year. And then after
you went
that,
from 130. Wait, so you were 138 at state that year, right?
No, 152. So there was COVID. So I would have, honestly, I would have started the season at 138. Super 32 was what I made 138. And I would have started the season at 38. But because of COVID, my freshman year, they made us wear the mask and they made us do the mouth, or I had mouth guard because I was braces. So I was like getting waterboarded every day.
Yeah.
It was nuts. And I was in, I don't know how it was up here, but I was in Rock County, which is right next to Dane. And Dane was like really strict, Madison, and they're really strict with everything. And so we were following the same stuff as them because they just wanted someone to like an example to go off of. But our season started in January. And so I had all Thanksgiving and Christmas to do whatever I wanted.
Yeah.
And I ate and I got to like 158 and I was like,
holy crap.
38 is probably not gonna happen. And so before I wrestled state, I had as a freshman I had 11 matches.
Wow.
Which is kinda like, I mean, it wouldn't have changed anything, but it was just kind of weird.
That was actually the first time I heard of you as state that year because you wrestled. Because I wrestled with Ethan Riddle in high school at Max Academy, and then he took fourth. I was like, who beat him for third?
Yeah.
And then it was like Aiden Sinclair. Yeah. I was like, oh,
all right. I lost him first round.
Yeah.
And then I wrestled him again for third. That's crazy. All that stuff is crazy. That bracket's crazy too because you got like four Division I commits now, like Mitchell,
yeah,
one. That's crazy. Cooper Cooper Willis is at Augsburg. Yeah. But he's doing good, right?
He beat the D2 national champ.
Twice.
Yeah.
Or three times. Yeah. Two or three times.
Which is pretty crazy. I'm going to Division One. Ethan's going to Division One. Ryan Dozel is SDSU Division One. And then
I didn't know that.
Some other guy.
I mean, you're lucky you just didn't have Crosby, Slosher, and the Bird.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. You were bigger, right? We were about 182, 95?
No, I was 60. That year.
60? With Jack and Luke?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Dude, all throughout middle school, I emulated Luke.
Yeah.
And Tristan always has this funny story because I walked in to practice my freshman year because I would wrestle with Luke a lot, and he was really tough, and he beat me up every time. It was kind of like me just getting tougher was wrestling with him. And this was at Nazar's too. Yeah. So I was kind of the transition between Ashton or my old club Advanced to Ashton. You're trying out different things. You got to see where you're going to go. And I walked in and told Tristan, I was like, and this is a guy who had just pinned Nick Lee.
Yep.
And I was like, dude, Tristan, like Luke would mess you up. Like he's ending you. Like he would beat you so much, like by so much. And Tristan's like freaking out because he's like, because I genuinely believed it too. Like, because he beat me up, and I was like, if he can beat me up, he's beating you up. Even though Tristan would kick my butt too, I just didn't wrestle with him enough at that time. And he always just every time I see him, he was like, "You remember when you thought Luke Beckler could beat me?" And I was like, "Yeah, I remember." But it was just like how it was just crazy to think about how I really didn't like again. I was saying I didn't see myself at that level until like after my freshman year, like 9 months later than that moment. And it was weird. I don't know. It's just weird looking back on all that stuff. I remember my super sectional or whatever. I remember Luke beating Jack and then Jack beating Luke. And then a couple weeks later or whatever, Jack beat that Caliendo.
Yeah.
And then a couple weeks later after that, I wrestled Caliendo in the finals of they did this like, what was it? I don't even know. USA National Showcase or whatever. Because they were doing it for COVID.
Yeah. Guys. There was like 20 different showcases that year.
Yeah, it was crazy. I wrestled them there at the regional, and then I wrestled them at the national. So I wrestled this Caliendo guy twice, and I got beat up. And I was like, oh, he's nationally ranked. Like, this is crazy. I'm wrestling someone who's national. And same thing I thought with Mitchell. So nervous. I was like, he's nationally ranked.
Yeah.
But so like, I just never saw myself. I was like, dude, he's number 15 in the nation. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
This would be. I don't know. This is, I'm probably never going to ever wrestle someone like this again. And now I'm like, God.
Yeah.
But it's fine.
One thing about Luke Meckler, I think there's possibility argument for it. He's the best wrestler from Wisconsin to not win a state title.
I could see that, but I could also, there's others like Cody Goebel.
Cody? Oh, he didn't win one.
Oh, because he
never won a Folks State title because in the finals he lost to Jacob Ward.
Yeah. That was his senior year?
His senior year. And now he's Division One at Wisconsin with Luke. I mean, I don't
think that is crazy, yeah.
So he was, I remember thinking, man, that's crazy because he's really good and he never won. Griffin Empey, four-time finalist, never won.
Well, that's got to sting.
Because you also got to think, like, again, going back to, like, people just don't realize, like, you have Cole, who's wrestling heavyweight at 200 pounds. Like 200.
Yeah, that's true.
So, like, people don't realize how good Connor Cole, like, all these really top guys, they just don't understand, like, these guys are really, really good. Like, it's not that Griffin's, if they didn't exist, if we were in a different state, yeah, this dude would probably be a 3-4-time state champion. Yeah. But because they exist.
Wow.
That is crazy to think.
You know, there would be guys at my weights. This is crazy.
Talking just a little bit about just going to Missouri. What went kind of into that decision, and would you ever like? I don't know. I just think college is so crazy now because transferring and stuff. Because like you know when Hamidi was on the podcast, we were like, would you ever consider transferring? He goes, no, like I'm here, Wisconsin through and through. And now he goes like he went to Oklahoma State even before like Taylor made that transition.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts about there? Or that.
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously, like, you choose a school, like, that's where I'm probably going to go. Like, I you see yourself.
You don't go in thinking oh, I'm going to change. Because then why would you commit?
Exactly, yeah. But, I think it really changed the game. Like, again, I mean, if you have really great, I chose Mizzou because they're really great people. I want to be associated with those guys. Like, they understand that it goes beyond the wrestling. Like, all that stuff is really, they develop their athletes. Like, really good relationship. Everyone, I'm a really big believer in, like, I feel like some programs try to do like one size fits all. Like you're going to do our technique and you're going to do it this way. And you're going to show up for lifts at this time, which is obviously like discipline and stuff is important. But I also think like everyone's different. Like the way I operate is going to be way different than someone who's 125 or the way different than someone who's not way different, but someone who's heavyweight or whatever. Everyone has different needs. And so I think like being great at something is really, really an individual thing. Like I think they have guys who are great and they're great for different reasons. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think some programs like have guys who are like, they just want them all to do the same thing and it's fine. But like you're missing out on really reaching that kid's full potential because they're really good at, you're neglecting something they're really good at because you don't want them to do that. You want them to do this. And so I think that was a really big part of it. I think there's only a handful of programs that really allow their athletes that independence. But the transferring is pretty cool. If you have, this is how I think about it in my head. If I have coaches that really care about me and like they're really great people, like say you get to a point in your career where you're like a Gable Stevenson, you're so freaking good and like nobody can come close to you while you're in college. If they really care about you, then they want what's best for you, and what's best for you maybe is transferring, and then that ends up being the choice. And so like that's what I think college coaches should understand is like if you really care about your athlete, you'll do what's best for your athlete. You know, like I think the idea of like, hey, we're here to really help you achieve your goals like as an athlete is really going to take it farther than like we're only doing these team goals right here. And it's like then you forget about these individuals. And so the individuals are what make the team.
I've honestly never even thought about kind of the way that said, but that makes total sense.
Yeah. And maybe I'm wrong. Cause I
don't think you are. I don't think you are. Cause I mean, at the end of the day, like every coach, I mean, every person is selfish in their own ways to kind of get what they want. And of course, coaches are like, they're not gonna have a guy commit just for having transfer. They're gonna do whatever to stick around or maybe they'll have these. And I can't say this for every coach or even any coach, but it is interesting to think about in that way.
Yeah. If they really care about you, they'll want you to do what's
best
for you.
That's like if you love her, you let her go.
Yeah, that's what it is. Something real. This is my freaking Mitchell side coming out with the like philosophical, psychological, all that stuff. But that's how I think about it. And then it's also I think if you're getting pushback in that too, in the same vein, if you're getting pushback, then now you realize like, oh, maybe this coach wasn't who I thought it was. And so like now I'm better for it too, because now I realize like I'm getting out of somewhere where they didn't care about me. Yeah. So there's always, I think there's, if you really, really want to transfer, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty.
Yeah. I'm going to throw this in there.
Okay.
Like, let's say like you think Mizzou is a great fit, great training partners, you know, like. You think if someone says like, you know, what's bad about it? You're like, nothing really. Like, I like it here.
Yeah.
But then it's like, a coach called me though, and he offered me like $400,000 to transfer there.
My mom was just talking to me about this in the car.
Would that change for you? Would you like be like, wow, like that's could actually be something that I'd consider?
Ben talks about this all the time. He's like, they offer you $1 million. He's like, I wish this was a right. You guys are so spoiled. I brand myself so well. Like,
would Ben have taken it? You think
I don't know. I don't want to speak for him.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because I might leave here, see him at, no, I think it's not 9 a.m. tomorrow. And he'd be like, what are you?
we got till Monday.
I'm safe. He's like, you're done for. And he cradles me a million times. But
well, he did fight Jake Paul with the bag.
I don't know. But I think, again, like I said, going back to like, if, again, like coach athlete relationship, like say you like, no, you're not going to have a future in coaching, or, you know, like you're going to, maybe your degree is in something where you might not make as much as you want. You want to be comfortable and you want to take advantage of the opportunity that you have. And you sit down and you talk to your coach about it. And you're like, hey, like, this is what's best for me. I need this money. Like, I'm going to need this money. And it's also like kind of like maybe you're increasing whatever you're getting at that program too. Mm-hmm. But it's like, hey, I love and really like this, but I need this money, and I'm not going to do wrestling after this. And why not really take advantage of this? And this is how I feel about a lot of Ivy Leagues. Like they get kids, not all, but a lot of Ivy Leagues are these really, really good academic schools, which I took visits to. I think they get a lot of kids who happen to be good at wrestling, but really we're just using it to get now a full ride, and now they get to do what they really love academically, you know? So not maybe committed to being national champions and being really great wrestlers, but they used it to their advantage to be in the top 1%. It's kind of smart. And so same thing, like I'm not going to speak for myself because hopefully like all my needs are met in that. But and I don't want to say anything before yeah. I get to college. But I think it's, again, going back to like what's best for you at the time. Like if NLWC offers someone $1 million, like, dude, come on. You're not yeah. going to, why wouldn't you take that?
Yeah.
Like, that's what I felt like with Truax. It's like, why wouldn't you go there? Yeah, I mean, loyalty is important. And yeah, you're getting better. But 1 year, I mean, I don't know what, I mean, I think I had a general sense that he didn't want to do it past college. Yeah, like get your money yeah. and get out.
Well, that's one thing. Because you see, like, you know, people on Twitter all the time saying like, yeah, kids' loyalty would be down the drain or whatever. But people have to realize like, hey, if you're getting like some six figures, yeah. even if like you're not even using that money to spend it, mm-hmm. you set that up. So where you can change, like, let's say your family just overall was in like not the best position financially. It's like you put that money in like a growth fund. You don't touch that until you're retired, and you have money to change your whole family tree.
Dude.
And that's what I don't think. And I'm not speaking as every college athlete is doing yeah. this, but I'm saying like, if I was like given that money, it's like, dude, you can turn that 300K into like tens of millions by just not touching it and just setting yourself up and your family. Like, because at the end of the day, just how you're saying, like,
yep.
it's more than wrestling.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not all about money, but heck, if I can support my wife, if I can support my kids, and really thinking on different levels of it's not just like I'm here for loyalty.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's something to think about, and no one can really judge another person unless they know the whole situation.
100%. And I think what you said in there that I really even more agree with, because it's like people freaking out at kids, which is first yeah. of all silly, but it's just that it's a game. It's mm. literally a game. We were playing a game. Like, this yeah. is why are you getting so relaxed?
That is true.
It's quite literally a game. Like, if we sat down and played Connect Four and you're getting mad at me, you're switching. Connect Four teams. Yeah. It's relax. It's like, come on.
I love that. I'll tell you what, if my squad partner ever left the squad in Fortnite, it might be over for that.
Yeah, maybe there's some bad blood. Who knows? It depends. But that's how I think about it. It's like, kids, it's a game.
Mm-hmm.
Life is life. There's going to be way harder things in life. So set yourself up.
I think there is a little bit of, what about like the, I mean, going back to like how David Taylor is going to Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
It does seem like on Twitter, there's like,
people freaking out.
Yeah. yeah. Well, even like Starachi going at him.
Yeah, it's saw
like,
that.
Is he a training partner? Like, right. You guys trained together.
I was thinking about, yeah, dude. I thought
that's
about
so
that.
Weird.
I took my visit to ASU. Colton Schultz, amazing guy. One of his roommates was Richie Figgs. Mm-hmm. And then Richie Figgs is going on Twitter and saying like, whatever, you guys are whatever the word for is, not being loyal. There's probably a better word to describe that.
Isn't he in the portal?
No, not Figgs. Parco.
Oh, Parco. Okay,
Parco and Schultz. And he's like, I'm with a bunch of disloyal people. And it's like, bro, dude, like you were just with teammates with them. Like, can you not empathize? I mean, maybe he's still on the high of like, I just won a national championship. Everything ASU works for me, and this is perfect. Why would anybody ever want to leave?
Mm-hmm.
But you don't understand what those kids like need. They need different things, and that's ultimately what I think about that. But yeah, I just think it's, I don't know. Again, it's a game. Like, you're a traitor. It's like you're trying to make gangs out of this yeah. stuff. It's like, it's literally
this. And I was talking about my dad to this too, how people are so like, maybe like on Taylor or any of these guys for leaving and stuff. He said, but it's funny though, because like Kale is getting all this credit now, but he was like the first traitor yeah. to leave yeah. Iowa State
yeah.
to go to somewhere else. And it's very interesting, because maybe people don't even think about that off the bat, but it's yep. knowing the full picture. Like, it really opens up the window.
Yeah, it's really crazy. I think that's it's a really great point. I do also think though, I understand the game part of wrestling. Like, if you were to make it a career, keeping it a game, but I do also understand that the fan, the showmanship of like, because I really like Kyle Snyder when I was a kid, mm-hmm. and I still do like Kyle Snyder, but maybe I have to wrestle him, so maybe I should like him less. Whatever. But Rudis Plus Original or whatever, where he went over to Russia.
Oh, yeah.
And he wrestled, and he was like buddy-buddy with Sajulayev, and Jason Nolf was with him, and they were buddy-buddy with Sabalov and all these guys. And I was like, no, this is not okay. We need good guys and bad guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was thinking about how, like, man, like, they can't be nice. They're supposed to be Russian, and they're supposed to be cheating, and they're supposed sure. to be the bad guys.
Doing all those doping agencies.
Yes. And that's what I'm like. And I'm like, thinking to myself, I'm like, oh, maybe I do feed into it like more than I thought I did. And I think having that is what draws the crowds. Like, a good example is I'm in this history of warfare class,
mm-hmm.
And my teacher, he went to Portugal and he was talking about how he's a football coach. He's been in a lot of football games, like Lambeau Field and all that stuff. And he was talking about how like the sense that people get at local soccer matches, football over there, soccer matches, is nothing that can even be ever compared to anything in the U.S. Because it's just the division they create is crazy. They had like police escorting people to the stands and like – and he was like, the colors are like – hue, a light hue of orange, and then a darker hue of orange. So it's like they're not even that different of like, but they're like, we're from here and you're from there, and this is why we're fighting. I guess the big best example he brought up was Barcelona Real Madrid. If you guys know any soccer, like sure. I guess it's yes. a big rivalry. Yeah. And I guess during the time that they were trying to create the kingdoms when Isabel and Ferdinand got married, it connected their two kingdoms together, and then one was like, no, we're Real Madrid is central Spain. And Barcelona is never East Spain. And it's also in the region where they speak Catalan because they're different from when the Romans broke up in the Western. When the Western Rome fell, all these different groups popped up and they were like, very like, we're us, we're not them. And so then when they were unified, that tension is still there and it never went away. And now it's coming out through bread and circuses, i.e. soccer. And so I think we don't have that in America because we're isolated. So we were British and we took over the people that were here. And so now that it was just kind of us, but like over there, things are just different. And that's that fan part is really what plays into it. And so now he's always telling me about how he watches British soccer or not British soccer leagues, the Portuguese soccer leagues and the Spanish soccer leagues. I think it's called something. I don't really, or La Liga is the Italian soccer league. That's all I know.
Yeah.
Not a big soccer guy.
I'll tell you, definitely from like, I wonder what could America do to maybe adopt that? Like, is that what we need as a division? But then you think it's like, I mean, I think USA is probably one of the most political places to be.
Yeah.
So it's like the division there, of course, it doesn't make the good only, sense. Yeah. But I think just from like a fan perspective,
yeah.
I do think people caring more about their own team and having, you know, a yeah. chip on their shoulder and just being like invested into it.
That yeah. The only thing, the only way to replicate it, and it won't happen because there's not a large enough population to create a team that's really, really that can compete with Americans, but would be like if Native Americans did that, and then so then that generational thing continued all the way up, and mm-hmm. so now when you play in games or whatever, it's more than just the game. It's like you guys did this to like that balance of history in that sense, and so that's the only thing that is comparable, but yeah. it will never happen yeah. like it did in Europe, and so really interesting stuff. Really amazing teacher. Shout out Mr. Cassidy. He's the best.
Dang. So well, the history will get you there. Man, yeah. Dude, you were like, damn. I'll tell you what, that is a nice skill to know. It's just, yes, I love that.
Dude, well, very, I, yeah.
That was pretty
I was
sick.
Undecided until, so we do trimesters. I was undecided till third trimester. I took two weeks talking about Rome. Started with Alexander the Great in Greece, and then we went into Julius Caesar in Rome, Hannibal and Carthage and all that stuff. And I was like, okay, so not only is this so cool, he's an amazing storyteller, and that's something I want to be able to be really cool, amazing storyteller, super handsome,
got
really
it.
Successful, and I was like, everyone that I know who's a history major is like leather jacket, motorcycle, cool, and that's ooh. I was like, I decided.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. But no, I think it improves your storytelling skills, critical analysis. You get to read primary sources. I'm in AB Spanish, so I got my Spanish is really it's pretty high
fluent.
Level. Yeah, it's pretty very, very, very.
¿Cómo
very,
te llamas?
Now I
oh. But, I don't even know what he said.
No, but it's all I want to be able to take more language classes in college. That's why I took all the APs too, is like, I really love learning, but also like now I get to skip all my gen eds when I get into college. I'm like,
dude, that must, that's
going
must
right to nice. Culinary or yeah. something cool. Like, man, I'm going to be a chef. And then
have you gone to like a Spanish speaking country?
No, I guess I haven't. So first is going to be Peru for Pan Ams. And then ideally, Spain for Worlds would be the first two, I guess.
Dang.
You could hold a full conversation.
Yeah.
Let's do that's this next so next cool. segment.
All right. It's I can. There also does depend on like what kind of Spanish. You're going to pull up a video?
You know, my mom is actually the high school Spanish teacher.
Really?
Yeah, she is.
Actually, I think I heard that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know how I heard
that. Well, and what's super cool, because this was the first time I went to a Spanish-speaking country. We went to Guatemala and Belize. And so it was like a culture shock of seeing how they do things, bartering, and you have to like pay for stuff in Espanol or like, you know, and stuff like that. And
¿Cuánto cuesta?
Sí, yeah. $20. No, they wanted like a shirt for like $10 and like we could like, they're like $5 quality. So like we had to get five was like the
yeah, happy like, tú eres un bromista. You're a joker. You're messing with me.
¿Dónde es la biblioteca?
No manchas. That means like, you're kidding with me. No, that's really cool. I think it's languages are cool. It's like having your own code. But that you should have been like, Mom, dude, you should have spoke to me in Spanish growing up. What the heck?
Yeah, maybe actually. Oh, it could have been a Duolingo.
Yeah.
Man, that'd have been so cool.
Here, I got a question.
¿Quién te influyó más en cuanto a la forma? ¿Luchas?
You want me to answer in English or Spanish?
Espanol first.
Yeah.
Probablemente Jason Nolf or otras personas who son luchadores, but I don't know. I would say, I don't know who in particular, but definitely Jason Nolf was one of my favorite. I think it was asking me like who influenced you to start wrestling. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's like word for word. Yeah.
You sure there's no mirror behind us? You're like,
No, I really don't know. I guess I just did it because I would tackle everyone in flag football, as my dad says. I was like, I'm not dealing with this string. I'm just going to take you down, girl or boy. I don't care. And so I would take them down in kindergarten, and they were like, you need to get them in the wrestling room. First day of wrestling, they're going over stance. I'm like, where are the tables, ladders, and chairs? This is absurd. I didn't sign up. Where's the belt? Hang the belt up. I'm climbing the walls. So I threw a kid into a fire alarm. Coach's son, actually.
Actually?
On accident. Well, I don't know.
Accident. Sure.
I was like, time to, hey, this is going to go crazy. This is going crazy.
Get the camera, Dad. Get the camera, Padre. Boom.
And the first year I was just whatever about it. And then my second year I did advance and I was like, oh man, this is so hard. I was like, Mom, let me stay home and play video games. I don't want to do this. I'll go to Lana's soccer game, my sister. I was like, I'll go to my sister's soccer game. And I was like begging not to go, but she's like, you made a commitment. And there was only like 3 weeks left. And then I had a competition in that time frame. And then I was like, oh, fine. And then I was pushed to go and I was like, I like this. This is fun.
So no one in your family else wrestled?
No one ever. My dad's not even from America. My dad's Scottish. So he's now, I think this year, he spent more time in America than he has in Scotland. But he grew up in Scotland, school in Scotland, met my mom. She's from Michigan. So yeah, I remember when my dad was on green card, I remember when he got his citizenship test. He's telling me this story. It's a very funny, silly story. Maybe it's inappropriate. I don't really know. But it was just crazy. It was... I don't know. It was cool. I remember that as a kid. And I think a lot of people don't realize that. Like, I don't know. I didn't do anything for scholarship application wise because I think there's a lot of scholarships that you can get for having parents that are immigrants. But my dad was, and people just don't know that. And he can turn on the accent like crazy.
Wait,
I don't
know. That explains the hair.
Dude, that's my mom, actually. Even crazier. It's probably a recessive gene in my dad.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. You won't admit to it. I think someone in that family is red hair, but mom's ginger.
Wow.
Yeah. And I said ginger. She has red hair.
My sisters always make fun of my dad for having red hair. But my dad always tells them, well, you know, you have that gene, so your kids are probably
good. Yep. That's how it's going to come out. That is how it works. And it's also, I guess there's like a thing like you have, people with red hair have higher pain tolerance or something. Mm. So whenever my mom goes to the dentist, they need to like put so much, I don't know what they use, anesthetic, morphine. Yeah. It's definitely not morphine. That'd be crazy. Anesthetic in the gums. And so whenever...
So wait, that's why you don't feel pain in like matches? Like,
yeah, that's what it is. That's
really?
It is. Yeah. Yeah, like
that's
I'm just...
That's a real
thing? Tired.
Like actually?
Yeah, real thing. It takes more anesthesia to get redheads to fall asleep for surgeries or all that stuff. Yeah, and so my mom is like...
Or even pain tolerance in general?
Yeah, all of it. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
That's like a superpower.
It is a superpower. It's also like, I don't know, not a superpower to get burned in the sun.
Yeah.
I was in Vegas. Day after, I went to the pool. An hour. Came back. Tried to wrestle. I did wrestle because I was like tough about it, but I was like,
that is actually probably one of the worst things in wrestling in the summer is if like you're roofing, because we got guys on like the team that are roofing and stuff. It's like, gosh, dude, I remember my, I'd go to practice, I'd be so burnt, but then also when your skin starts peeling,
yeah,
you take off your shirt, all over the mat, there's just dead skin, just like.
Oh, dude, the best, funniest example I can think of is, I was a sophomore, and I wrestled U16 and junior duels. I made both teams, and I, on the junior one, I was with guys, I was like, no way I'm with this guy. I thought it was cool, but mm-hmm. Braden Scholes, he showed up, and he was in a t-shirt, but he was roofing that summer. And so he's tan everywhere, and he would take off his shirt to weigh-ins, and he was like kind of burnt here, and we were, and then he was pale white, yeah. And we were like,
so "Wait, doesn't funny. He get pretty tan too?" But dude. He is white. So yeah. He gets tan, but then it's just like legit, yeah. Like white.
Yeah. It is crazy
because he has like white hair too. Like yeah. Carter has like white hair, yeah, like too. His wow. is white.
Yes,
yes,
yes.
Yes.
Dude, 100%. His is actually his. My yeah. mom, my mom thinks that. this is gonna be so silly. My mom thinks that whenever she sees that white hair, she's like, "Oh, children of the corn." She's like, from the movie? I'm like, from the movie? She's like, yep, from the movie. I'm like, that's what you think of? And she's like, yeah. And so, I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, he is really, I think it's cool hair, actually. It's. I'm trying to watch, my history teacher says good fantasy is based in history. And so he's trying to push me to watch Game of Thrones. Oh. And there's someone with white hair in there. And I was like, that'd be sick to have that hair. I think her name's Khaleesi, but I haven't seen it. Don't spoil it. I know also,
you got yeah. you watch a bit of Game of Thrones.
Nobody comment.
I watched like the first
the spoilers.
I couldn't get through like the second
you didn't like
episode.
It.
There's just some stuff happening. I was like, yeah, I don't know if I'm yeah, rocking yeah, with yeah.
this. Definitely, definitely, definitely. I think I know what you're saying. But
who's your favorite WWE wrestler
of all time? As I get older, definitely John Cena. John Cena. I just think he's like a really good human. Like I see these Instagram real clips that are supposed to make you feel real emotional. Mm-hmm. And it's John Cena talking to someone who's like a child in a hospital, and they work, they Instagram real works, and I'm yeah. like, oh, he's an amazing guy, and I'm like, yeah, John Cena all the way. But I think when I was younger, it was probably like, maybe not The Rock. I like Roman Reigns. There was like a set of three. I don't even remember the names of them, but there were three, and they were in a bundle, and they come out from the crowd.
The Shield.
The Shield. The Shield. Yeah, that's cool. I like that. I always thought that was sick. I liked when I, at the time, these guys were done, but in the past, I would watch these clips from the past. I'd always watch, I like the Hell in the Cells because it's yeah. so cool. Oh. And then the dude with Mr. Sacco, what's his name? He had three different names. Mankind.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thought he was crazy. I was like kind of afraid when he'd come on screen.
Yeah.
But then I was like Edge with the spear. I was like, let's go.
Yeah.
But I think I really freaked out anytime I'd watch clips of Shawn Michaels. You know I'm 16. And he walks out there, hits the sweet chin music. Come on. I'm just like, yeah, that's pretty cool. Triple H, pretty cool, those guys. Yeah, but I always thought.
I thought you were going to throw Sheamus in there.
I was never a Sheamus fan because everyone said I look like him. I was he's like the stupidest special move ever. Like, just freaking lifts his leg up to kick you. Whatever. I don't really, Rey Mysterio, I thought was cool too. I knew I was never going to be that small. So I was like,
Rey Mysterio has zero haters.
Dude, I know. And it's crazy because he's been unmasked 7 times.
Yeah.
And people just like refuse to like, they're like, he's never been unmasked. Yeah. I'm like, he's been on camera. They've never, his face isn't, I'm like, go, have you seen Instagram? Have you been on Instagram? Because it's all over Instagram. But,
I was going to take you as a Hornswoggle fan.
Stop.
You know, he's from Wisconsin.
No.
He's from like Green Bay area.
We want to get him on the pod. We talked about there it. Was like getting WWE guys.
That'd be sick. Yeah. There's a bar in our town called Two Brothers, and they do little person wrestling.
Oh no way! My brother went to one yeah. recently. Actually,
yeah.
They sometimes that's at the county fair, not the county fair, but micro wrestling.
Yeah, micro wrestling. That's what we call it. Mr. Miyagi.
You know, like the roll calls from micro yeah. wrestling. Yeah.
Little Miss. We might get copyrighted if I keep going. Yeah, I gotta chill out.
You gotta stop. No, that is good. We need to go.
That's funny.
Dude, no, it's really cool. I don't think my parents have ever been, but people talk about it and they're like, pretty sick.
I could probably qualify, no?
Damn near.
Nah. Maybe.
If
maybe.
I'm lucky.
Yeah.
I'm just a giant.
You'd be a giant.
Yeah,
be
you would be the
you'd
giant.
You'd be a big fish in a little pond.
That would, call me tiny.
That'd be a fun. That'd be crazy.
Oh, gosh.
You wouldn't, the low single, probably, you'd probably have to adjust.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, it'd be a closer distance. I could ankle pick.
Yeah. I just think that.
I go.
My gosh. Oh, God.
God. He's got a angles. That's I think what's gonna.
Sure.
Gosh.
Oh, that's no, that's.
No, damn. For the for another time.
Yeah.
Time.
Yeah.
Gosh, my sister. Hey, girls, we're filming a podcast.
They actually just came from a pole vaulting meet.
Thank you had a day wrestle, right?
Okay. They if they were in wrestling. I was talking about someone like they would be really good. Like I got on Macy's nerves the other day.
Yeah.
The younger one of the twins. And she picked my leg up like it was nothing. And like, but she was actually like she's strong.
Yeah.
Like come here, make an appearance. you could I literally think like I talked to my mom about this. Like if you're a girl and they were twins too. Yeah. So like think about same situation as Amir Solis, but they had three brothers who were also in wrestling. They could have, oh my gosh. Crazy. But mom was like, no, we're not putting them in there. Not
what?
And I was like, man, they could have had a YouTube channel. Oh my gosh.
And now it's on the come up. You're getting scholarship left and right. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So, you guys should do wrestling.
Yeah.
No, but I think girl, it's really growing, man. My girlfriend's a girl wrestler. She won state this year.
Really?
Yeah, she's Maddie Peach.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She's really
I was going to ask if you had a girlfriend. I actually did not know.
Yeah, her name's Maddie Peach. She's awesome. She's a beast.
And she won the same time as her brother at that same
exact
time.
Same time, yeah.
Wow.
Pretty crazy. And I was yelling. I was sitting in front of her. I was like, wait. He finished first. Yeah. He's like, yeah.
Dude,
and I'm like, wait for your sister. Yeah. And he's brought it through.
That's crazy. Is she younger than him?
Yeah. She's younger than him.
Is she your grade?
No. I'm a senior. She's a sophomore. She's got two more years left in high school.
What's up, Garb?
Let's see the white hair.
Huh?
That's blonde. Okay.
Yeah, it was white.
When it was longer, I just got cut.
Really? That's like yellow.
Once it's in the sun, it gets white. No, look at the end. See how it's white? That's what his whole hair was that one weekend.
Dude, that literally looks like you dyed it.
I know.
It's that those UVA rays. Or UVC. UVC.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Some are blocked by ozone. I can't remember. I just took earth science or environmental science.
I would believe whatever you said.
Yeah. I took earth in perspective. I learned lots. And oceanography, bro. Clouds. I know all seven oceans.
I remember that
Let's
one.
Go. They added the seventh when I was in elementary school.
Really?
The teacher was very iffy. They were like,
the Indian Ocean?
The Southern.
Oh, the Southern Ocean. I already forgot.
They were like, there's Southern, but like, you say seven oceans?
Yeah, I just threw out a number. I was just bullshit.
Because now I was like, there's seven kinds of six oceans, and the six is Southern, and
wait,
that's the
one.
There
is six oceans.
Yeah, six. Or maybe it's five.
There was five?
Arctic, Southern, Indian, Pacific, Atlantic.
Yeah, that's I think five. That's all of them. Yeah.
That's five.
Okay. So the fifth one was a myth. Or it was like,
so there was a Southern. Four. Yeah.
But I don't think, I think the Southern one is stupid. But I guess it makes sense if you have an Arctic, you should have a Antarctic, which would be the Southern. Yeah.
Who knows? I think.
I remember in elementary school, like, you'd like write where all the continents were, write where all the
oceans. Still have to do that. I was just in there's a freshman required course now because they're trying to get our school better at geography. And these kids were like, had to label continents on the map and they were struggling like really bad.
Really?
With that, and they were freshmen, I was like, dude, what?
Well, dude, you see those videos of people in New York, like what continent is like
Jimmy
what?
Kimmel?
Or just anything, and people are like, even a math question, like, what's four times four? And they'll be like, 25. They're like, yes.
Yes. That's the Jimmy Kimmel. He does all that stuff. The only one I thought maybe I would get wrong is if they were like, name this state, or maybe it was a country, but they had it at upside down. And I was like, that could be confusing, but like, it is very clearly America.
If someone just like shoots a question at you just out of the blank, if someone asked me my favorite song, I'd be like, dude, I don't know. But like, when I go on my phone, I'll be like, I'll always click the same one.
Yeah.
But I can see how that works. But
you know, fun fact, actually, we filmed a podcast in your wrestling room.
No, it's Seth Gross.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I got Splatel in that room.
I saw it a bit.
It was scripted, though.
Yeah.
Oh,
allegedly.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
It was.
Allegedly.
No, no, this always makes me mad because it. Okay, that was scripted, but Crosby still lives today that no, it's not scripted. Yet I told Seth, I'm like, Seth, dude, wrestle here, but like, finish me in a Splatel.
The Splatel was scripted, but have you ever seen the clip of him and Bo Bartlett? He like does
jumped over me like a cartwheel. Yeah.
That was 100% not scripted.
That wasn't scripted.
That's pretty crazy. Dude, is he cool?
Really cool.
I thought he's really cool. His perspective right after he lost in the finals, I thought was really good.
Yeah.
Dude, what I think was crazy is I'm a big Dayton Fix supporter. Dude, were you guys, you were there, right? At NCAAs or were you not?
No.
Dude, the hate he got every single match was nuts. Yeah. And afterwards, like, everyone during the finals match, you can't. I rewatched the TV to see if you could hear it. They were booing him like crazy.
Yeah,
they all hated. Like, it was crazy. And I was like, dude, this dude like won America a silver medal. He's a 3-time national finalist. He's just trying to achieve his goals, and everyone wants the previous national finalist or national champion to win.
Like, yeah.
And the thing about that, because people hated him because of the age, but he's the same age as Vito.
Vito, same age.
And Austin's 26 too.
Yes.
That's the thing.
Yes. I have a chart of all the ages on my phone. I found it for me and Ben were looking for
that. Nice.
But yeah, that was crazy. There was like six or seven guys.
Again, that's just something people just don't know the whole story.
Yeah.
But
I thought the argument, best argument I think I've heard for it is like, we hate his wrestling. It's like all stalling.
No offense.
Like, and I'm just points. Like, dude, whatever. Like, win's a win. The dude wins, he wins. Like, he loses. It's a strategy. Yeah. I understand you maybe don't like it, but like, I don't know. I just thought it was crazy, that stuff. And I also think the Jordan Burroughs hate was crazy, even though I can't pitch all the way. I'm just,
sure.
But the it's over.
Oh, that was crazy.
It's over.
Well, apparently he's going to have a match with Dylan Palacio. So
Bitcoin?
Not even for it, just to like beat his ass. Like, he has his uncle, and he was like contacting him. Like, if you follow through his stories on Twitter, and he found the guy, and he's gonna give him like a Shapiro, and like a Yanni signed poster and like shoes to just like meet him. And Dylan's gonna be there, and he's gonna like teach him a lesson.
Nah, that dude ain't gonna show up. I don't know him that well, but all I know is Ben has tried to wrestle him because he's and he's avoiding Ben, and Ben's like, I'm gonna spike him. I'm gonna spike him on his head.
That was for a Bitcoin, right?
Ben's like, saying for I'll wrestle you for a Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And he's like, all like nice about it. And then he's like, then I think that one on one, he really mad.
You know what he should do? They should do like a gigantic, if like Ben would, or even if like what Dylan could do is have like a King of the Hill last in, like gets a Bitcoin.
Dude, well, I don't
like
I
just
don't
in a wrestling room.
I don't really know if he has. Like, I don't know him. I just don't know if he has it. Does he have it? I don't know.
Well, I mean, he has screenshots of like 158 Bitcoin. Like, I think
AI.
Dylan Palacio.
AI.
Dude, he was like a very early adopter of everything. Like, he has this whole like Stratton, like Dodd or Doge, whatever his I don't know what it's called. I'm not in it, but like he is.
Yeah, man. I just don't know. I just think that's crazy.
That's why he's called the Bitcoin Bandit. Like, he said, whoever would win worlds, he would give them like a Rolex, like an iced out.
I thought he was a green toe Palacio. I thought that was
green toe. Yeah,
that's his Instagram or Twitter, something like
that. Yeah, something. But we'll have to get on the pod and straighten it out.
Yeah, maybe he's mega rich, Warren Buffett type. Maybe
Cornell guy. If anyone invested early.
True.
I have stories about Bitcoin for another day.
He All-American, right? That was it, right?
Yeah, I think
that was pretty crazy.
He had a really good interview, actually.
Yeah, I just remember him All-Americaning, and he wasn't supposed to. Like, he was a low seed or something, or maybe he beat someone. There was one guy that he beat, and that's why he was really that's why he gained all the fame or credit or all that.
Yeah.
Stuff. There's someone he beat that was like really good. I don't really know.
Yeah, I actually didn't even know that he All-American, to be honest.
Yeah, I he didn't like win it, but I know like that's that one picture of him like flexing.
Yeah.
His probably Instagram profile pic.
Yeah.
Let's go.
You got anything else?
Just where's the?
Yeah, I know where it is. You can give the little.
All right. So we give this to every single guest.
Yeah.
Every in-person guest, I should say.
A hug.
So you know Brady Shue.
Yeah, Superman.
Yep, Superman.
He's a man.
So him and his dad at the shoe shop. Make these for every single guest. You are our 32nd in, or no, 31st. 31st in-person guest.
Let's go. Do you give them to the online ones too?
No.
No.
No, they're not as special.
Yeah, I understand.
This is right after Aiden had a practice, long day of school in 6 AP classes, and he made the drive here. Dang. So we give him credit where credit is
due. Yeah, thanks for coming.
Yeah, you just gave me a weapon.
Basically.
It's pretty cool.
Basically.
Dude, have you ever done those ninja star throwing?
I don't know.
You got to try. You feel like Shogun Dynasty. Like, you feel pretty legit when you get back in there. But
try with that.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like,
hit the TV if you want.
No, yeah, I really appreciate it. And I just want to say I'm thankful. I'm really grateful that you guys have me on here. I love talking. Yeah. So if people want to hear me talk, that's even better for me.
Dude, well, we'll have to run this back too. Because yeah. I think this could go a lot longer too. But
yeah, no problem.
Are you going to go to P&L next weekend?
No. So next week I have a, yeah, next week. What's the date today? The 9th. 10th. 10th. Mm-hmm. 10th. Next week I have a crash at, or camp at crash on the 18th. Cause I'm trying to get myself a laptop for college.
Nice.
And then, the week right after that, Tuesday to Friday, I'm going to DC to do that project. Okay. And I'm trying to get, hopefully, he probably won't hear this, but I'm trying to get a meeting with Jim Jordan so we can talk wrestling the whole time. Jeff Jordan's brother, he's the one who beat John Smith. So John Smith only has three national titles. Nice. Or maybe it was Pat Smith. But Pat has four for sure, but he beat John or Pat. But there's a reason John doesn't have four, and I think Jim Jordan's the reason, and he's a congressman for Ohio. Sorry, all the clinking. You're good. Oh, this is sick, though. Yeah. Yeah, but I'm really excited for the project. The topic's in, I'm just going to talk wrestling all the time.
Awesome.
Wait, when do you go to – are you going to Mizzou this summer?
Yeah, I'm trying to get – so I graduate the – I'm going to miss my graduation for that match for the best 2 out of 3. Mm-hmm. But that – I don't know what – my mom's back and forth. She wants to grad – but I don't know what the plan is for the grad party. I don't know what she has in store for that. But the plan is like that week. Get packed up and head down and get training, because ideally I'd be looking to get a world title, obviously.
Yeah.
That's the goal and that's the plan, and I'm just really excited to get down there. I mean, I love Askren. I'm going to miss Ben so much. It's going to be hard, but I'm going to miss everyone. But, and my family, just everyone. But it is going to be so nice not having, like, for me to get good, like, partners, I have to drive an hour.
Yeah.
One way, you know? And so it's like, I feel like I should do, I have these ideas. These ideas brewing while I'm at college as side projects. I have this idea called Scrapology, where I create a whole course, college level course. There's 101, 102, 103. And you go into different, like, it's all about wrestling.
I love that.
I think that. And then I'm going to do maybe two other projects. One on why wrestling is the hardest sport of all time, or not, outside of MMA, other MMA sports that include wrestling. Why wrestling is the hardest. And then there was a third one, but the third one was going to be, there's got to be a correlation between how much you drive to get to practice and how good you become. Because I think if you're more 100%. Committed to, like, if your parents are committed to driving you the 3 hours, like Luke Lilliedahl is a really good example. When we were kids, we went to Combat WC for Greco. That was like, his dad would 6-7 hours from Missouri or Kansas, wherever they were from, there and back same day, just for him to get the training. Like,
that's crazy.
Crazy. But they're doing what it takes for them kids to be good. So I think there's a correlation between how far you're willing to drive, and hopefully after I win my fourth national title, I'll be able to be like, yeah, it was all that driving. Yeah. Like, get your kid driving to practice and such. That'll get you really
good. Skip the closer one. Just keep go, hiking.
Going, all
keep
the way.
Going.
You said you live in Idaho and M2 is where?
Yeah.
You can do it.
Well, it might be off the map.
Dude, that'd be crazy. Oh, yeah. Oops. Well, Ashton's for sure number one now.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. Awesome. This is awesome.
Thank you. Yeah. Amy Sinclair, ladies and gentlemen.